The word yoga comes from the Sanskrit yug, which means to unite. And when we speak of dream yoga, we are trying to unite the consciousness, our own cosmic intelligence, which is in essence awareness, with the vehicle that travels in the fifth dimension. And that vehicle, of course, is related with the world of Hod, and it is called the astral body, and Netzach, which is the mental body. We can study in every ancient religion, and in the old times, dreams always have deep significance. If we study the Old Testament, we know that Daniel became very popular in the kingdom of Babylon due to the way that he would interpret the dreams of King Nebuchadnezzar. Joseph interpreted the dream of the Pharaoh, the dream related with the seven thin cows and the seven fat cows, what it meant. Moses had a significant dream after he killed the guard. In many places in this continent, there are Native Americans and shamans who speak of the significance of dreams and what dreams mean and what dreams can reveal. Of course, related with that superlative intelligence that we call a consciousness. They would say that you can learn the future, or what will happen in future times, by understanding how to comprehend a dream, the symbols in a dream. The shamans would be able to know something that's going on in a remote part of the land, whether it's on the side of the world or the country or what have you, due to their experiences when their physical body is sleeping. The Sufis, the Egyptian priests, the Tibetan Buddhists, the ancient Druids, they all, in some place or another, speak of the significance of dreams. So, to understand this plane, this dimension of nature, is something that's universal. It's not something that belongs to one religion, or one cult, or one book. It's something that's within all religions, within all cultures. Really, we have to understand that nature is made of seven dimensions. We have the third dimension, fourth dimension, the fifth dimension, the sixth dimension, and the seventh dimension. These are all different planes, different layers within nature itself. These are like layers of an onion or of a cake. Each one is within the next one. That is why these are the internal worlds, the superior worlds. And each one exists on a more subtle plane of nature. Of course, when someone is dreaming in their beds, sleeping, this person is experiencing themselves in the fifth dimension, in the fifth vertical. And if we stood next to this person, awake, watching this person, all we would see is a sleeping body, a sleeping physical body. We would not see what this person is doing in the fifth dimension. Because we are, of course, in the third dimension, in this physical world. And this person's consciousness is submerged within the fifth dimension. And of course, if that person was to awaken consciousness in that very moment, and they could enter into any of these worlds on the tree of life, each one having its own, each world having its own specific qualities, experiences, because each one is a different realm of nature, a different realm of the Garden of Eden, the tree of life. So of course the fifth dimension, the astral plane and the mental plane, are very subtle. They're made out of very subtle matter. Matter that you cannot see with the physical eyes, unless you were to awaken clairvoyance. Clairvoyance, which means clear vision. It comes from French. Clair is clear, and voyance, to see. And that clear vision, of course, is the vision, the objective vision of the consciousness. So if one was to awaken clairvoyance, they could see into maybe some of these realms at once. Blavatsky spoke a lot in her Theosophical Society about the septenary that makes up man. This is truly the symbol of a complete human being, because it shows in each sphere, each of the seven bodies that make up what we are. Of course, it is the seven lower sephiroth on the tree of life. In Theosophy, it is called Atman, Buddhi, Superior Manas, Inferior Manas, the Kama Rupa, the Lingam Sarira, or the vital body, and the physical body. And so these are the seven vehicles that correspond to seven objective worlds of nature from the sixth dimension down. Each world is more subtle, is more fine, or more refined. This physical vehicle is what we're all experiencing right now, because it is applied to 48 laws, we say. 48 laws. And the astral body is related with 24 laws. And the mental body is related with 12 laws. Some of these 48 laws, of course, is the law of gravity and some laws of physics. If you jump up, you're going to come down. The matter in the physical world is very... what's the word? Very
dense.
It's dense, and it's not elastic. What's the word?
Rigid.
Rigid. Thank you. Very rigid. As opposed to the matter in the fourth dimension, which is all idioplastic. The matter in the fourth dimension can stretch. Physical matter in the fourth dimension is elastic. It can change shape. That is why when we study the Nahuatl of South America, and of course, shape-shifting can be utilized by black magicians or white magicians. But shape-shifting is when you submerge the physical body within the fourth dimension. Because the physical body is always attached to the vital body. And Divine Mother Nature gives us these two bodies as a gift, as a free ride for us to be able to have life in the physical world, to sustain nature and to transform energy into nature. And for the monad, of course, to have a chance to awaken consciousness in the inferior parts of the tree of life. But if one can take the physical body and enter into the fourth vertical, or the fourth coordinate, Eden, then that person is practicing Jinn science. Jinn science. A jinn is someone who can fly in the air physically, who can walk through walls physically, who can shapeshift into any animal or any shape that they wish. This person can travel physically to the other side of the world with a physical body.
they can be at the same place in at the same time in two different places.
That's ubiquity. That's a higher power. It's different. It's related with Jin science, but that's a much higher octave. The power of ubiquity. Your being has to be a very high level to be able to do that.
Is that true about Sai Baba? That he can be... People have seen him...
He's a resurrected master. He can be in many places. So could Samael. Many say that Samael is working in it with his idioplastic body, with his jinn body. But I'll tell you that anyone can experience jinn state. If one applies the practices, for example, in the book that we call the Yellow Book. This is an example of how matter changes as one enters into the more subtler, is that a word? Subtler? Dimensions of nature. Right? Samael says that it's easier to practice jinn travel than it is to practice astral travel. That it's easier for one to enter into the jinn state and shapeshift. This is about experimentation. This whole lecture is about is to inspire us to experiment. Because that's what science is experimentation. So we have to experiment with our consciousness. Not experiment with drugs or experiment with crazy things. So the astral plane is even more subtle than the jinn state. In the astral plane, it is very the laws are much less. And if one can awaken consciousness within the astral plane, one is much closer to reality. Because remember that reality is chesed, it's Atman, the being that's within us. And Hod is much closer to that. But we have to understand that these vehicles are not fully developed yet. Only these two vehicles are fully developed. The physical body and the vital body. And Divine Mother Nature gives to the consciousness. Divine Mother Nature gives to that seed, Yasad, which is related with the same vital body that we're speaking of, three seeds. One that's related with this physical body. And then two that are related with potentials. The potential astral body and the potential mental body. But they are not fully developed vehicles. They're only seeds. They're only potentials. Because we've all been in these classes, we know that we're fallen. And that since the fall of humanity, we have taken these three seeds and converted them into three traitors. Because these three seeds, which are related with these three bodies, which is related with the inferior quaternary that we call Adam the sinner, or the terrestrial Adam, they are now vehicles for the various desires that we have created in our own psyches, in our own minds, in our own hearts or emotions, and in the physical body. These are the three brains, which are three traitors, because they are the vehicles of ego. Right?
But the three brains don't necessarily... They can be perfected.
Absolutely.
Just three brains.
Perfect. Absolutely. But because we're fallen, right? The last classes and everything, those three brains are fallen. They're traitors. They work against all of the processes of the consciousness. Because the nature of the consciousness is to be present, to be aware in the three brains, to be present here and now in the three brains and in the five centers. Intellect, motor, emotional, instinctive, and sexual brains or sexual centers. The nature of the consciousness is to be present so that the monad, this aspect, the inner God, the God within, that desires, that longs to conquer its own nature, which is us, these vehicles that we mistake for our true identities, its mission is to dominate, is to control and express itself through these five centers in the world. Christ said, I am the light of the world. Because Christ gives life and light to every Sephiroth, to every iota, to every atom in the entire universe. And the monad, the will of the monad, of course, is to one day unite with that perfect force that we call Christ, the Inri, that supreme dominating intelligence. And in order to do that, of course, it first has to perfect or be able to control these vehicles with Ariadne's thread, which is the consciousness, which is its own intelligence. But instead, the egos, the eyes, the desires that we have, control these centers and cause them to dream. Instead of being connected to the consciousness, being in the present moment, the ego of lust, for example, because we have many, many different legions of lust, controls the intellect through fantasy and causes the intellect to dream of a movie or a scenario of a pretty lady. It causes the emotions, the emotional center, to dream of the past, of what it was like when we were with so-and-so, of relationships, of how it felt, of how nice it was, or how bad it was, or what have you. Or what you... they say. There's like an ego of lust that always craves a certain flavor of romance, a certain flavor of tenderness, something that you want to find in the other person, or a lack of romance or tenderness, depending on the kind of type of person that we are. And that is a type of emotional dream. Lust in the heart, which is, of course, related to the Kamarupa, which is the body of desire, the lunar astral body, inferior emotions, dreaming with the consciousness that the monad needs in order to control nature, to control its own vehicles. So this ego, this desire, is wasting all of that energy in inferior thoughts, inferior emotions, and also inferior actions, wrong actions. And this is partly, of course, partly the way that the consciousness dreams in the five centers. But we know that the will of the monad, the will of the intimate, of Atman, is to take these three seeds and grow them to their maximum potential. And so the Logos, the Father who is in secret, gives to the consciousness, to the essence, those three other atoms of itself that are related with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Triamasi Kamno, the positive, negative, and neutral forces that is the law of creation, and places that also inside of our own seed. In order to grow a seed, you need sunlight, which is this, these three forces within us. You need water, which is the transmutation in alchemy, to transmute the liquids that rest inside of our own chalice, that coagulate inside of our own chalice, that are the result, that is the result of the descent of the cosmic Christ into us. And you need, of course, soil. You need a physical body in order to sprout those seeds. And that's what we have. That's the gift that we have from Divine Mother Nature, in order to grow these potentials. So we spoke last week about the Holy Week. And that Holy Week is the process of the initiate in the 7 days of his own genesis. Right? The 7 days of his own internal creation, which are the 7 major mysteries, or the 7 initiations of fire, which is the result of the practice of the arcane science of alchemy, the chemistry of Allah, the chemistry of Elohim, to raise the fire of the serpent of Divine Mother Kundalini, up each spine of each body, to awaken each chakra, each of the seven chakras on all seven bodies, all the 49 fires. The first creation of the Holy Spirit is at the third initiation of Major Mysteries. That creation is with the transmutation of the sexual hydrogen C12 in a higher octave in the Sephira Hod. To take the seed, this lunar vehicle that we call the Kamarupa, the vehicle of desire, the vehicle of the egos in the emotions, and to transmute it into a solar astral body, the vehicle that can leave the physical body at will and enter into the astral plane and speak with angels and masters, and enter into temples and go to other planets with consciousness, with awareness. The solar astral body is a marvelous vehicle that every Gnostic student has to create, has to fabricate. Because without that body, we can only pray, hope, that we can have these experiences within the astral plane. We can try and try and try, and of course, the more that we try and the more that we practice our dream yoga exercises, the more experiences that we'll have. But without that vehicle, the solar astral vehicle, we don't have that permanent inside of ourselves. The solar astral vehicle is the first octave of immortality. Because once an initiate has crystallized the solar astral body, that initiate is no longer submitted to the law of 108 lives that the rest of us, humanity, that we are submitted to. We know that we have 108 chances. But if you have a solar astral body, at the end of those 108 chances, you can go to the consciously to the tribunals of the law of karma that exist on the central planet of our solar system, that is the sun, and speak with the 42 judges of the law and Anubis and the cosmic Christ, and ask, of course, and negotiate your karma. But without this vehicle, without the vehicle of the astral body, how can we travel in the astral plane, consciously, at will? You see? It's like if you don't have a physical body, how are you going to travel in the physical plane? If you don't have a car, how are you going to drive down the street? It's very simple. And Divine Mother Kundalini will give us this vehicle. Just like when we turn 16 and our parents give us a car, if we would meet the requirements. I know in our culture, if you get the right grades and if you stay out of trouble and you work a little bit and you do your requirements, your parents will give you a car at 16 or 18 or whatever. For the most part. Didn't happen to me, but most of us. I didn't meet the requirements. But it's the same way. Once we reach this third initiation of Major Mysteries, the Holy Spirit fabricates this amazing vehicle that the consciousness can inhabit and travel to distant places, speak with cosmic intelligences that govern the mechanics of the universe. So this all sounds nice. These are nice ideas. But any one of us can enter into the astral plane with our consciousness. Any one of us. You don't need a solar astral body to at least have an experience of that realm. It's very simple. It's as simple as night and day. Each one of us can recognize when we daydream in ourselves if we apply our attention. If you apply your attention and self-observation, you can very simply see the way that lust uses your intellect to dream, the way that pride uses your emotions to dream, the way that greed, anger, laziness, envy uses the human machine in order to steal the consciousness that belongs to the monad. This is Alibaba and the 40 thieves. The 40 thieves live in a cave above a valley. And below that valley is a small town on a river. And the 40 thieves always go down to this river, to this town, to steal the riches of the travelers, of the people who are passing through. And then they enter back into their cave. So the 40 thieves are what now?
These are the different aspects of our ego.
Egos. That live in the mind and travel the hills. What are these two hills? Apply to the tree of life. If this is the mind, what is this? Emotion. Because the egos live in our minds and in our hearts. And why do they steal the treasure from the water, from the river? What is the river? It's where all the divine forces of the cosmos, of the seven Elohim, the seven cosmic creators, deposit all of their riches, all of their virtues, all of their gold, all of the seven metallic planets, of the seven metals, deposit within this chalice. So, very simply, we see the three seeds and what our egos do. Because we know that any ego in the intellect causes the intellect to waste energy. And then the intellect has to steal that energy from the emotions. And the emotions have to steal it from the motor, and the motor from the instinct, and the instinct from the sex. Because the sexual force is the well of energy. It is the Dantian of Tai Chi. 40, because 40 is always related in Kabbalah to a huge number, to a legion. 40 days in the desert, 40 days it rained in Noah's Ark. And so we have legions of these desires, of these egos, that live in the hills, that live in our lunar bodies, in our psyches, stealing all of the riches. So we have to learn how the egos, how these 40 thieves dream in these centers, in order to understand the way that we dream at night. Because when we're dreaming at night, even though we're not aware of it, even though we don't know that we're dreaming, consciousness is in the fifth dimension. But remember that 97% of our consciousness is trapped in these 40 thieves. It's trapped inside the bottles of the ego, the robots, in our psyches. So when we're here in the fifth dimension, in the astral plane, and we're dreaming, it's the consciousness that's bottled in the ego that we're experiencing. Just like during the day when we are at work and we're identified with the deadline and being the number one in the workforce and getting things done and being ambitious and showing off or trying to be something that we're not, whatever it is, or in that identified state of lust, we are in, the consciousness is in those egos that are experiencing the moment here in the physical plane. Do you understand? What we're perceiving, the awareness that perceives, is perceiving through the eyes of egos. And that's why we're not awake. We're not conscious. We're not aware in the physical waking life, in the horizontal life that we live, or in the astral plane. Because our consciousness is perceiving through the ego. It is not free consciousness. We have 3% free consciousness. So in order to have an experience in the astral plane, to break away from these mechanical dreams that are related with the dreaming of the five centers, we have to connect to 3% first. Before we can make 5%, 10%, 20%, 75% consciousness in ourselves, as the masters do, as the angels do, first we have to connect. Learn how to connect with our 3%. But we don't know how to do that. It's very simple. That 3% is superlative awareness. It's awareness. How do you connect with your awareness? Through observing. Through observing yourself, your three brains, the way that you observe. Observe the way you observe, and observe your surroundings. And when you do that for a prolonged period of time, you'll enter into self-remembering, which is the third state of consciousness that we spoke of a few weeks ago, which is experiencing 3% consciousness in yourself, self-remembering. We need to be in self-remembering all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, connected with our consciousness when we're awake and when we're asleep.
I always question when we dream, where the ego is versus where the essence is. You mentioned that when we're dreaming, really, because our essence is bottled up in the ego. So for the same dream, let's say I'm dreaming, and I'm dreaming a pretty girl, lustful dream. That's my ego, obviously, because the essence is bottled by the ego. But if I didn't have the ego, I would see the same girl through a different meaning.
Let me show you. This is your dream. And you dream that you go to the brothel, right? The psychological brothel. And you're perceiving that brothel in your dream. You're not awake, you're dreaming. But you think that you're awake. You assume that you're awake, that you're in the physical world, because it looks like the physical world. But this entire brothel and all of these women are aspects of your ego of lust. So you're perceiving through your lust. It's like you're a fish in water.
But if I was tapped into that 3%, mm-hmm. Would I see the brothel? I don't mean the same scene, but would I see the same thing but for different meaning?
If you awoke in consciousness in this moment, in the fifth dimension, and your consciousness entered into you, into your three brains, then you would be perceiving with objective consciousness, with objectivity of awareness, your own psyche, and you would be able to comprehend your own lust in a deeper level. And if you asked your being, your monad, to take you to another place, and your being gave you that experience, and you were conscious, you can go to Tibet, or the moon, or Chapultepec in Mexico, or a pyramid in Egypt. This is your own hell, related with the inferior emotions and the inferior thoughts. Because lust is in these vehicles. The inferior emotions, the inferior thoughts, and the motor instinctive sexual brain. And so when you experience this dreaming in the fifth dimension, this entire thing is your consciousness.
And as you said, it's in the lunar side, not the solar part.
It's hell. It's your own hell. It's your own inverted consciousness. But if your 3% entered into you because you became aware, because you learned how to begin to train your consciousness and train your psyche, and you woke up and said, I'm dreaming. Well, then you can go up to that to the prostitute, for example, and you say, how did I make you? Because you know that's your own ego. Where do you come from? And starts to talk. And you need to pay attention so that you don't lose your awareness. And you start, that is a form of meditation, of comprehension meditation. Everyone thinks that you need to sit like this to be meditating and get some kind of comprehension. But you're in the astral plane and you're awake and you're in your own psyche. How can you be in a better way, in a better place to comprehend yourself? And you're looking directly at the formation that you made with the wrong use of the sexual force in the three brains. So the entire thing is your consciousness. The building, everything, is your consciousness in the ego, projected by the ego. You understand? It's completely subjective because you created it with your fantasy, with the sexual force being used in the wrong way, with your fantasy. Yes?
You can do this while you're dreaming or also when you're not dreaming.
You can do it either way. You could do it physically by noticing the patterns of your thoughts and by the patterns of your emotions. And you brought up a very good point. Because that same lust that enters into the psychological brothel has a similar pattern of thoughts, a similar pattern of feeling. You understand? A similar negative emotion, pattern of emotions and thoughts that you can notice during the day. Because those are day. The inferior emotions and the inferior thoughts, thinking of that gorgeous woman or gorgeous man, right? In your own thoughts and in your own feelings, feeling whatever your fantasy is, that's a daydream.
So you can develop this greater consciousness while you're asleep or while you're not asleep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You have to remember that life is made of two equations. The first equation is related with birth and ends with death. And that equation is called life or knowledge or personality. And it is mechanical. School, work, marriage, vacation, retirement, Florida, golf, whatever you do in your life. The retirement home. And each one of us lives in a certain point in that life, in that mechanical life, that everyone has a very similar, if you look at it, all of us begin with birth and end with death, and in the middle, it's just very circumstance-related. And most of the time, we can all relate with each other, because life is very much a cookie-cutter pattern. But we try to make life into something mystical, into something spiritual, into something great, with our style, with our fashion, with the music that we're identified with our dreams, with our hopes, with our desires, with who we want to be and who we think we are. The other equation in life is the equation of the being. And this, of course, is related with the consciousness, the essence. And each one of us has a certain level of consciousness, a certain level of cosmic intelligence, a certain level of being. Obviously, the Dalai Lama, for example, is at a very high level of being, because he's a bodhisattva with solar bodies, with golden bodies, perfect bodies, very little ego, working through a small amount of karma and helping humanity. When the level of being of a prostitute or a psychological prostitute like any of us, because we have so much lust, for example, is much lower than the level of being the Dalai Lama. In this level, or in this line, these five centers dream. Most of the time, those dreams are related with what we take in through the five senses, which are impressions. Because the five senses are mechanical, are instinctive. Because your body will automatically open those five windows. When you wake up in the morning, you hear, you smell, you taste, you touch, you see. The instinct does it for you. It's nature's intelligence. So when you don't transform an impression or a particular circumstance back to lust, when you see the girl with the red dress in the corner, and you do not transform that and reflect and use your awareness and your attention to cancel that identification, then you take that physical object and translate it into your mind, into your thoughts, and into your emotions. I heard that Playboy magazine, that they use computers to like airbrush parts of the woman to make the woman look a little bit better. We do the same thing. Because we saw the woman in the red dress, but later on at 6 o'clock at night, when we go to Del Taco and get our bean tacos and go home and rent the video from warehouse, and we start thinking about that girl or about the guy in the red shirt with the red shoes, we start to translate that impression the way that we want it to look, the way that feeds our desire even more than just watching that person, our psychological secretary that we call the mind, that we call the ego, translates that impression. So we're daydreaming. We're dreaming while our physical bodies are awake in the physical plane, in the vigil state, in the horizontal line. And at night, when we put our heads down and we go to sleep, that woman will be waiting for us. Because that woman, for us, in our own inferior emotions, in our own inferior thoughts, will be experiencing the astral plane the way we want it to look, what we want her to do. Remember that it's the world of desires, because the heart desires, the mind desires, the kamarupa desires. So we're walking around in a fantasy. in a projection, in an illusion, because we do not transform the impressions, and we dream instinctively. We dream according to the untransformed impressions that we take in during the day. So obviously the first way to train the consciousness to be awake is, as your question led to be awake physically, in the physical body. To learn how to manage our psyches during the day through paying attention. Very simple. Being aware. Self-observation. To observe what's going on in these five centers and to observe the way that we observe. Of course, it is the will of God to communicate with God's children. We can read it in the Bible. All of the prophets could communicate with God. But why can't we communicate with God? Because we are full of error, we're full of defect, we're full of sin. We're full of psychological eyes that fill the five centers, the three brains, the mind, the heart, and the body with things that are antichristic. Antichristic. Antichrist. And that turns us into atheists. A means without. Theistic. Theos. Without God. And that's why our psyches have at the root fear. The root, the foundation is lust and fear. Fear because we are atheists. We are without God. We do not communicate with God. We do not experience God. And we don't even experience the simple worlds of nature that are one step closer to that reality that Christians call God. We have to understand the way that the egos create these psychological structures by the way that they become identified. Identification why does an ego become identified? What does it mean to be identified?
Wanting more.
To attach.
It feeds it. To want more attachment. But what is the word identify? It comes from identity.
Become one with it.
An identity.
Believe that it's
an
yourself.
Identity is something that you believe is yourself. Because each ego, each psychological I believes. We believe that we are lust, that we are greed, that we are anger. In the moment when we're experiencing those emotions, we believe, I am this emotion. This is who I am. I am this thought. This is who I am. That's what the ego tells us. Because each ego is related with a corresponding negative thought and negative emotion. And so it's a false identity. And we have millions of false identities, legions. And when an identity becomes identified, it finds an impression that it relates to itself, that feeds itself, that makes it who it is. Pornography makes lust who it is. Fornicating makes lust who it is. Money could make greed who it is. Or I'm saying the wrong transformation, the wrong impression, or the wrong transformation of the impression of money. Can lead greed to who it is. The way envy perceives other people is who it is. That's its identity. That's the way that it becomes identified. Because it was always identified with the five sensations, with the five senses. When an ego becomes identified, then the consciousness becomes fascinated. Fascination is the negative form of imagination. Imagination is a gift that comes from the Divine Mother.
So the ego gets identified, the essence becomes fascinated.
Exactly. And that fascination always leads to psychological sleep or psychological dreams. Psychological sleep is always related with these dreams. If you observe your dreams, your dreams will speak to your consciousness, will speak to you as the son of your own intimate, of your own monad, according to the level of being that you have. Your dreams will always relate to the level of being that you have. The level of being that you have is like Jacob's ladder. And there are angels at the top, and there are demons at the bottom. And so our dreams will reflect what level of being we have. Plato said, a man will know himself by his dream. Oh no, what does he say? A man is known by his dreams. Right? So you dream about lust, you dream about brothels, about pride, about greed and all these things, envy, conspiracy, paranoia, sadomasochism, schizophrenia, anger, whatever. That shows you what being you have.
But what if you don't dream, or you don't, I should say, you don't remember your dreams?
Then there's something else that you have to work on. Connecting with your own internal anatomy. Your own occult anatomy. Because these connections, one way or another, need to be readjusted. So you need like a consciousness chiropractor. Right? Through doing, applying exercises. One way, in the morning, if you want to remember your dreams, wake up in the morning and only eat citrus fruit and crushed almonds mixed with honey. Citrus fruit with crushed almonds mixed with honey. Another way is to meditate more. Your meditation would lead to the unfolding of your consciousness in your own internal worlds. You need to learn how to meditate through practice. You need to learn how to use your imagination. Samael talks about the cardius practice in Perfect Matrimony, in the end of Perfect Matrimony. And the cardius, like cardia, like cardiac arrest, the heart. This practice is a meditation that you should do every day for 1 hour. And this will lead to astral unfolding, to the unfolding of your consciousness, the astral plane. Sit in a chair, a relaxed, I sit in a lazy chair, a lazy boy, right? When you're not too tired, but when you're not too vigilant, so your physical body is in the middle. So you don't just pass asleep, but you're not fully awake. Or you can sit in half lotus if you want, if it's comfortable. Or lay on the floor, if you're not going to fall asleep or whatever. And imagine yourself with your visualization. Visualize yourself in a beautiful forest. In a beautiful, like a dreamland. And be there. Don't imagine that you're imagining. But really put yourself there with your imagination. Put yourself in a beautiful valley with high peaks and a beautiful turquoise sky. And wisps of clouds that lightly, delicately blow through the air. And in the middle of this valley is a beautiful lake that reflects the turquoise sky and those wisps of clouds. And in the middle of the lake is a beautiful little island filled with nice plants, warm sun and a cool breeze. And there, seated upon a throne, is an ineffable woman. See that woman. And that woman is your Divine Mother. Because your Divine Mother acts through your imagination with willpower. Not fantasy, not fascination, but imagination that's focused with concentration, with willpower. And go to this woman. And speak with her. Or sit with her. Allow this visualizing, allow this scene to unfold in your consciousness. All of this, you have to imagine, I forgot to say, the most important part. Imagine it inside of your heart. The first thing you can imagine is a pinprick of light. I'm going back to the beginning. A pinprick of light in your heart. And allow yourself, go in, make yourself small with your imagination. And go into that pinprick. And allow the pinprick of light to become much greater. Until it unfolds into the scene. If you want a better explanation, you could read the chapter on cardius in Perfect Matrimony. And someone else says that that will open up the superior emotions, superior thought, which will help you to connect better with your own astral plane in fifth dimension. Imagination, of course, takes place in the fifth dimension. Otherwise, anything that we would imagine, we could touch it. That's why imagination is what takes us out of the body. When you go to sleep at night, if you want to get out of your body, there are many different exercises that you have to, that you can do to unfold your consciousness into the astral plane, or to peel your astral body from the physical body. But every single one takes a mixture of willpower, which means to hold your consciousness, hold your awareness on one thing, focused, concentration, with imagination. Willpower is active, it's the force of the Father, it's masculine, and imagination is creative, it's feminine, it's the force of the Mother. And you need both in order to access any aspect of your consciousness, any aspect at all. Even the inferior aspects of the consciousness, to create an ego, you need imagination, inverted into fantasy, and willpower, which is the force of your own virility. So to create an ego, you need the sexual force, you need willpower, action, and fantasy. In the heavens, you need willpower, which is concentration and focus, and imagination. Your consciousness revolves around those two principles. The first and second arcanum ketero. It is yod hevei. Iyo. Truly, the secret of that practice is Iyo. Iyo. The Father and the Mother. The phallus and the uterus. The projective and the receptive. The active and the passive. Iyo sephas and ram Iyo. The Father and the Mother. Willpower and imagination.
Please,
Mother.
Io.
Io.
Okay, gotcha.
Very important thing that we have to learn to do very quickly is how to discern. You need to learn discernment. How to discern whether you're in the physical plane or the astral plane. Because when you're projecting all of your dreams in the astral plane, it looks like the physical plane. So you believe that you're in the physical plane, so you never believe that you're dreaming. Unless something crazy happens. And even when crazy things happen, we don't even react. We say, oh, well, you know, my friend here has three heads and his feet are like the tentacles of an octopus. All right, big deal. Because we have crazy thoughts that we accept. And we have crazy feelings that we accept. You understand the relationship between your own psychology and your own dreams? So you have to learn how to apply the subject-object-location practice. Soul. Soul in Hebrew and in Spanish both mean the sun. And it's where we get the word the solar bodies. Because solar bodies is the soul. Our own soul. So we have to create the solar bodies with our own sun, which is the logos. Subject. The subject. First. Do. Do is the first thing that we do. Subject. This right here is a practice that you have to do during the day. A practice with your awareness, with your consciousness. The first thing you do is observe your three brains, five centers. Observe yourself. Very simple. Subject is self-observation. Because you are the subject. So observe your three brains, observe the way that you observe. Divide your attention. Connect yourself with your attention by bringing it with force, with willpower, the present moment. And then, object. Observe the objects in this objective world. Well, so-called objective world. That means just become very aware of your surroundings. If you do that, then once you become very aware of your surroundings, then you say, well, am I in the astral plane or the physical plane? And then you can pull your finger. That's location. What location am I in? What location am I in? Discern. Am I in the physical plane? If you're in the physical plane, your finger will stay there when you pull it. But if you're in the astral plane, and you use your imagination, your finger will stretch. As long as you pull it, you can turn into a lasso if you want. Because there's less loss. Or you can take a small jump, and if you're in the astral plane, you're not going to come down. You'll stay and you'll feel very light. It's very simple. But you have to do this like 50 times a day, every day until you have the experience. And you have to learn how to be in this state continuously. Why do we do object? Because if you're in the astral plane and you look around and you realize, wait a minute, this isn't my house, this is an Egyptian temple. Then you're going to very easily realize the location that you're in. Well, I'm in the astral plane.
What was the subject?
The subject is you. It means the first thing is observe your own subject. Observe your three brains. Observe your mind, observe your heart, and observe your body. Like, for example, if you're in the moment and you're going to work and you're driving your truck and you got the radio on and you get the song, there's a song that you really like, and you do SOL, then you're going to first observe, what are you thinking? What are you feeling? And what are you doing? And just observe it. Observe your thoughts. Just watch them. If your thoughts are saying, you know, whatever they're saying, because our thoughts say crazy things. Like, you know, when I'm president of the United States, or whatever, this person, or our minds are crazy. We think of crazy thoughts. We feel crazy things, so just observe it. Don't justify it, don't think about it, just watch. And then observe, you're in your truck, go to objects, and observe your truck, the surroundings, what you're listening to, what's outside of you. Observe it very closely. What you're hearing, what you smell. Become very aware of your five senses. And then, yes, discernment by the physical experience. Because what you're doing is, you're observing yourself, your psyche, related to the environment that you're in. If you have the astral plane, you're going to observe your psyche related to the astral environment that you're in. And that'll bring your consciousness present immediately. And we have to learn how to sustain the SOL practice all the time. But we begin, of course, by doing it moment by moment. To sustain the SOL practice is very simply, it's self-remembering. It's the third state of consciousness. Your 3% naturally does the SOL practice if it's present inside of you. This is a way to wake up in the dream. The next thing I want to say is, a very important thing to do is to learn how to get out of your body. When you put your physical body down at night to go to sleep, after you've done meditating or while you're meditating, observe all the sensations in your body. Let your mind go completely quiet. Easy, right? Put your meditation practice with your attention, with your awareness. Let your mind wind itself down. Remember that every inferior law is transcended by a superior law. So all of your thoughts and feelings are superior, are inferior emotions and inferior thoughts. So a trick is, in order to cancel out those inferior thoughts and those inferior emotions, is to stimulate superior thought and superior emotion. So, turn on Beethoven before you go to sleep. Not hip-hop music, because hip-hop music, it's going to make you want to go out and brawl with someone, or it gets you aggressive, gets your heart beating. Not jazz music, because jazz music reminds you of when you were young again. Right? When you were a hip cat. That's not going to be a superior emotion. Yeah, it might feel good. But drugs feel good too. So turn on Beethoven or Mozart. Or some nice Tibetan music. Study the books of Master Samael. That will inspire superior thought. By doing superior study. By putting the intellect into something that's superior. It's such a simple equation. If you stimulate throughout the day superior emotions and superior thoughts, then when you go to do your meditation practice and you're practicing self-observation, when you go to do your meditation practice, it's not going to be difficult. Because even though you became identified during the day, you're able to observe it much easier. So you're able to comprehend it much easier. But instead we work against ourselves. We're like stupid robots. I told my dad one time, I said, man, I got a computer for my work, right? A little laptop. I was telling my dad, I was showing it to him, I said, this computer seems to be so intelligent. And he said, it's more intelligent than you are. And I said, you're right. It's more intelligent than we are. We create machines that work in a more logical way, that do things more logically than we do. We work against ourselves. Of course, computer doesn't have intelligence. It mimics intelligence. But it seems to the five senses to be intelligent. So we have to inspire superior thought and superior emotion to calm the feelings and to calm the mind. And of course we have to calm the physical body. We could do that by taking a nice walk before we go to sleep. If we have like a sedentary day job. Not a jog, but just a nice brisk walk, maybe half an hour, 20 minutes. Then when you lay down to go to sleep, still in SOL, in self-observation, observing yourself completely, wait until you get halfway between sleep and halfway awake. It's called the hypnagogic state. And you'll recognize it because you might feel lighter or buzzing, like a buzzing feeling, or spinning feeling. Or you might be able to see your dreams, but you're still kind of aware. Like, for some reason, your thoughts that you're having are right in front of you like a movie. Or you might hear people outside your windows talking and talking and talking, or noises like shattering glass. Or you might hear a chirping noise, a chirping noise that comes from the top of your head. These are all symptoms of being in a hypnagogic state, between awake and asleep. This is really, we have to learn how to get to this point like a volume knob on a stereo. We should learn with our consciousness how to just tune right into that place. And once you're in that place, very simply, get up from your bed and take a small jump. If you get up using your willpower and imagination to project the astral body out of the physical body, then you will get up with your astral body. And you will be in the astral plane, in your house, with objective consciousness. You will see your astral house. And you can come to this school in the astral plane. Because remember that everything physical has an astral correspondence. Most of the time we're projecting the astral plane around us because of our egos. But if you are in your consciousness, which is objective, then you can see the objective representation of your house in the astral plane, or in the mind, or the cause, depending on what level of nature you're in.
So are we being taught in the astral plane right now? Meaning the superior side of it.
Well,
what you said.
There are classes in the astral plane here, but depending on where your heart is and where your consciousness is, it depends. It just depends. Maybe the gods are teaching your consciousness in the astral plane right now, through your own superior emotions. And when you go to sleep at night, you might experience that. Maybe not, I don't know. But now we're in the physical plane. So when you're in the physical plane, you need to be in your physical body. That means you have to pull your consciousness here. Don't go off into the mind and don't go off into your feelings. Stay here. Now, three brains. You're in the physical plane, be in the physical plane. That's being aware, that's being in self-remembering. Be conscious here and now. The time to go into the astral plane with your consciousness and the mental plane is in meditation, is in when your physical body sleeps. The practice that you can employ, so many practices, I'm sure that you've read so many of them in the books. When you go to sleep at night, vocalize the mantra, "Oh," and this will stimulate superior emotions. This will open up the Anahat chakra, the chakra that's related with the heart, and that will help you to go out of your body very easily. Or you can do "Oh," and then "Ooh," to balance the solar plexus and the heart. This is your choice. But we have to develop, we have to spin the heart chakra. Otherwise, another practice that you can do, when you're in the hypnagogic state, try to hear the sound of the anahat, which is the sound of the electricity of your own brain. When you hear a chirp, it's called the anahat sound. The anahat, and it's Even though it's coming from your pineal gland, it's related with the anahata chakra. That's why they call it the anahat sound. And when you hear that chirp, when I first heard it, it sounded like a sword was being unsheathed. Like a thousand swords were being unsheathed. Like, shing! But like, there was a bunch of them. But it was really light, like distant, like it was far away. And then more and more, it started to sound like a chirp. Or maybe like breaking glass. Or like falling glass. It's hard to... And that sound, if you concentrate on that sound, on the cricket, concentrate on the temple of the cricket that exists in Mexico City, on the hill of the cricket, which is Chapultepec. There's an ancient Aztec temple and a Rosicrucian temple in one, on that hill. And the Venerable Master Rasmussen will help you to awaken consciousness in the astral plane. If you come out of your body that way. Somehow gave some rules to help us with dream yoga. And I'm going to wrap it up with these rules. The first requirement is to practice SOL, to be in self-observation and self-remembering, to divide your attention. The second requirement is to have willpower, to have discipline, to practice every single day, no matter what. The third is to always check your psychological mood before you go to sleep. That means watch your own thought patterns and your own emotional patterns and try to stimulate superior emotion, superior thought. Fourth, it's good to take a short walk before bedtime. Fifth, it helps us a lot to get out of the body if we eat a very light dinner or if we eat dinner early and something that doesn't upset our stomach. And my mom used to always say, and her mom told her this, and her dad told her this, and it's the old folklore of my family, should never eat chocolate before you go to sleep, because you'll have nightmares. So that's what my mom told me. You guys do whatever you want. I don't eat chocolate before I go to sleep. So I didn't say that. I was mom's wisdom. The sixth is you need to relax the body and silence the mind. The seventh is listen to classical music to stimulate superior emotion before you go to sleep. The eighth, this is very interesting. Decorate your room with the three primary colors, your bedroom, which is yellow, red, and blue. When my wife moved into my house, everything was out of my bedroom the next day, and the whole room was yellow, red, and blue. Let me tell you, there's a huge difference now. A huge difference. Just blue curtains and blue trim, and like a burgundy red, like a Tibetan temple, and then like a saffron yellow. It looks like a Tibetan temple. It's a huge difference just from those three colors. Those three colors are related with the three forces and brings superior energy with that color into the room. The ninth rule is to perfume your room with incenses. Only use one incense at a time because each incense brings in certain influences, cosmic influences. And if you mix influences, then you never know what you could open the atmosphere to. The only incenses that we mix are the five incenses that we sell here. But you could use copal. Copal, for me, is the best for astral projection. It's the incense that the Aztecs and the Mayans would burn in their temples on their altars. And that automatically opens a gate between the physical world and the astral plane. It opens up the atmosphere completely. During the day, I burn the five incenses to clean my room and to bless my room, but at night, I burn copal.
C-O-P-A-L.
Number 10. The Earth has two poles. And the North Pole receives all the cosmic forces that come from the seven planets of alchemy, the other cosmos, the other solar systems, from Sirius, from the zodiacal belt. It receives all the forces through the North Pole. So we need to face north at night when we sleep, so that we can receive those same forces. If you put your head to the south, then it's going to be opposite, and you will receive inferior infernal forces. West, the same thing. East is okay. There's specific practices that Samael talks about in the book called The Secret Doctrine of Anahuac. If you're interested, I'm not going to go into it today, to place your head to the east. But I highly recommend you to put your head to the north. You'll see a huge difference. 11. Have a nice mattress. Not too soft, not too firm, not one that squeaks, but just a nice mattress, so that your physical body can be comfortable and not bothered by what you're sleeping on. 12 is to write all of your experiences, all of your dreams, in a dream journal. We say dream, but really a Gnostic student calls them experiences. Because even if we dream, we understand that our consciousness, even if it's bottled in ego, is experiencing something in the astral plane. A dream is something that you just doesn't matter. It's just a dream. But we have to watch our internal experiences very closely in meditation and while our body sleeps. And especially if we have a conscious astral experience, you should write them all down. That will help you to remember your dreams. If you write them down all the time, until you don't need to write them down anymore. Yes?
Lucid dreaming, mm-hmm. you're flying and you know you're dreaming, is mm-hmm. not the same thing as astral.
It is.
It is.
Absolutely. Let's define terms. Some people say that lucid dreaming just means that your dream was real vivid, but you didn't know that you were dreaming. An astral experience, or a conscious astral experience, means that you know that you're dreaming. Now, what you decide to do with that experience will reflect you. You understand? Instead, when you wake up in the astral plane, and this happens to me. Oh, I'm in the astral plane. Hey, Donald, we're in the astral plane together. Hey, watch this. And you fly around, right? And you go and like hit the lights and, you know, Peter Pan. You'd be Peter Pan for a while. Well, you're wasting your unconscious astral experience. When you could say, oh, we're in the astral plane. I'm going to call my being. Father, please come to me. Bring me to you. Let me speak with you. And you can speak with your own monad. To me, that's the best way that you could ever use your... The two best things that you could ever do with a conscious astral experience is ask to speak with your own monad and ask to go to his temple, or to ask your being to take to see the egos that you're working on, to your own psychological health, to your own klipa, so that you could comprehend your egos.
Basically, when like lucid dreaming, you wake up, it's really just you're dreaming. Sometimes you dream and it's just a reflection of what happens during the day. When you wake up, you're still in the same dimension, but it becomes astral.
It already, you're in the astral plane. Whenever you're dreaming. The difference is, you're either conscious of it, means that you're aware that you're there, or you're unconscious of it. Either way, your consciousness is still in the astral plane, whether it's bottled in ego, or whether you bring the 3% present in the astral plane right there. Because that 3% is not bottled in ego. So that 3% can be free, conscious awareness of what's going on. That's why the first thing I said in this lecture is we need to connect ourselves with that 3%. Otherwise, the only thing that we can do is be awake in the ego in the astral plane. The ego's doing what it does. And you go back to the body in the morning when your alarm goes off and you remember what your egos were doing. Like one of these dreams in the brothel or on the street or in school or any instinctive mechanical dream. Does that answer your question? Okay. The 13th rule is to keep your sheets and your bed very clean. Wash them at least twice a week. That's my recommendation. That was my teacher's recommendation to me. And I have no choice about it because my wife will make me do it. So, and also keep your room very clean. Unless you want to attract astral larvae to your house. I recommend to keep your whole house clean, and your clothes, and yourself. Because you'll bring in astral larvae, parasites, that you might not see them physically, but they're there astrally. Yeah.
Astral larvae.
Absolutely.
Could you give me a little more?
Astral larvae is like, how do you explain astral larvae?
Like parasites inside energy.
Exactly. It's intelligent. It's like fleas. It's like astral intelligences that have such a low level that they feed off of your own energy, the energy that we need to awaken consciousness with. Do you understand?
Is this like elementals?
Kind of.
Mentalius.
Huh?
They call it the mentalius. Artificial.
Oh, artificial elementals. Yeah. You know what I would recommend? Because Master Moria writes in a book called The Dayspring of Youth. There's a few chapters just on that. on how our atmosphere attracts different types of like intelligences. Just like you see, you ever watch like a nature channel where there's a where there's an animal like a, an elephant or like a big fish, and there's parasites that live behind its ears, and the same thing happens to our astral body, or to our, even to our lunar astral body, where those where different life forms that exist in the fifth dimension feed off of each one of us like batteries, and they're unconscious. That's astral larvae are unconscious, but a witch does the same thing. A black magician does the same thing, but they steal a lot more energy and they're awake. They stick a straw in you and they drink. Because we allow them to do it, because we're naive. You understand? Astral larva is just the same thing, it's parasites for the astral reflection. Because there are life forms that live in the astral plane that just live there. Just like there are life forms that we see at the beach in the sand or in the forest. So you could have a tapeworm in your stomach that's eating all the food that you put in your mouth, and you're not going to get any energy. So we need to clean ourselves and keep clean physically, and then learn how to clean ourselves internally so that we don't have astral tapeworms. Yeah. Also, we create the incubus and succubus. The incubus, or the incubi and the succubi. The incubus is a... It's plural, right? Not incubuses. Incubi. The incubus is what a woman creates when she has that untransformed impression that we were speaking of the opposite sex. And with the emotion and fantasy through masturbation or through fornicating, through spilling the sexual force, she feeds that mental formation and gives it its her own force, her own energy, and imbues it with artificial life. And so that incubus is like an artificial life form that feeds off of our own desire, off of our own lust, that we created through our own nervous sympathicus, through our own factory of energy. And the succubus is the same way, but for a man. A succubus sucks. It's receptive. It's feminine. An incubus goes in. Incubus. So it's for a man. It's masculine for a woman.
It's yeah. Ego, right?
It's like the creation of an ego. It's like one step beyond. It's another problem. It's another problem. So we have many succubus, succubi, as men, from masturbating, as children, from fornicating. And we feed those now through our lust feeds those. And so we have to get rid of them, these crystallizations that hang around us in our own internal bodies, the same way that we get rid of egos. We have to comprehend them, we have to see who feeds them, and we have to destroy them with the lance, with the sword of Divine Mother Kundalini, with her fire. So we don't just have egos to destroy. We have incubus and succubus. We have mental formations, astral representations. Yes?
The purpose of this is to enhance your consciousness so that you're no longer a 3%, right? You'll elevate to higher percentages.
Eventually, yeah. And to experience, so that all of this doesn't just fall into a dead teaching. So it's not just a dead intellectual teaching. So it's practical. So you have you experience the teaching. So instead of reading about a master, go into the astral plane and speak with the master. Instead of reading about Master Samael or trusting that he's a master or whatever, go into the astral plane and invoke him. Ask your Mona when you wake up in the astral plane, my God, my inner being, please take me to Master Samael so that I may speak with him with my consciousness. Or speak with Master Moria, or Rasmussen, or any of these other masters. To verify, because Gnosis is direct experiential knowledge.